You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the ACT Party announced a new health policy that would see the responsibilities of pharmacists expanded to move pressure away from GPs. The idea of the policy is that for less significant health issues, people could see their local pharmacist instead of their GP, reducing wait times and costs for the general public. Also last week, the government announced plans to scrap the Broadcasting Standards Authority. The announcement follows a period of complaints from the government over the BSA, which had ruled on online broadcaster The Platform. The government and The Platform said that the BSA shouldn't be able to make rulings on online broadcasters, but many others disagree. Without the BSA, many of the restrictions and rules that broadcasters are held to could disappear. In addition, the BSA offers a vehicle for members of the public to hold said organisations to account. Without the BSA, avenues for public feedback on poor conduct are minimal. For this week's catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I asked about each of these issues, beginning with the party's new health policy. I want to start off with ACT's health policy announcement last week regarding boosting the powers of pharmacists and letting them take some of the roles that have been traditionally held by GPs. What kind of expansions is ACT proposing?
Well, our policy makes healthcare easier to access, because right now one of the biggest problems is that people can't get timely appointments to see a GP. They can eventually get to see a GP. Sometimes it's 2, 3, 4 days after they place a phone call and they're told, yes, you can have an appointment. But so if a trained pharmacist can safely treat an urgent everyday condition or renew routine medication or otherwise see somebody, triage them in the same way as a nurse might at a GP clinic, so they can refer them on to the right course of action, whether back to the GP or, you know, goodness, maybe off to the emergency department. That's much better for the patient, and it's also better for the GPs, who can then focus on more complex cases.
Yeah, and I want to talk to that a little bit. I mean, I can't speak to every pharmacy across the country, but my local pharmacy and some of my friends' pharmacies as well are pretty small or have low staffing numbers. And so it looks like they could be struggling as we introduce these increased responsibilities on pharmacists. Are there going to be any funding boosts or infrastructure boosts to the pharmacies across our country to address this increase in demand?
Well, that's really interesting feedback that you've picked up. We're hearing other things, though, which is that using robots to dispense medicine in pharmacies means that pharmacists are no longer counting pills into containers. That's freed up a lot of their time to do more high-value tasks. And we already have pharmacists being able to prescribe basic medicines. Recent changes to the rules around what pharmacists could do mean that they can prescribe medications and treat people, say, for, you know, common things like scabies, for example, which means those people who may actually be infectious don't have to go into a GP clinic. But they also need urgent treatment, because it's something that if it was to spread for a couple more days in your family home, could be disastrous. So, pharmacists are already highly trained. They have high-level degrees and qualifications. They're used to seeing people presenting with all kinds of conditions, searching for medicine in the pharmacy. They're ready to do it, and I understand that they have the time as well as the capacity. And, of course, you know, the modern-day community pharmacy is competing with big chains in the malls. And, you know, in the past, they used to supplement their income by selling shampoos and lipsticks and all kinds of things. But a lot of that trade is actually being captured by the larger chain stores. So I think it's important, and ACT believes it's really important, that the pharmacists who we've invested so much in their training, who are skilled medical practitioners in their communities, are given the opportunity to actually add a bit more value into the system and make the medical system more productive.
Yeah, and there's two key issues that a lot of people have noted with or around GPs at the moment, which are, as you mentioned, wait times, but also the cost, right? Some GPs are costing people as much as like $80, $100 per appointment. How would this policy go towards addressing GP costs, especially as compared to Labor's announced policy of 3 free GP visits a year?
Well, what an interesting contrast. I mean, it can cost anywhere between, say, $45 up to maybe $90 or even $100 if you need to see a GP and it's urgent. Whereas we envisage many of these services being delivered at around the $40 mark. And when you consider what ACT is proposing, making the most of the resource that's currently underutilized in the pharmacy so that more people can be seen for more common ailments, like getting prescription for a chest infection, for example, you can't wait 2 or 3 days to see a doctor. It might actually get a lot worse in that time frame. So stopping people from needing to go to an emergency department or needing high levels of care, ACT's supply side intervention, which for people who don't study economics means you focus on increasing the supply and availability of services as opposed to Labor's demand side solution, which is essentially doesn't add a single more doctor, a single more GP, just increases the number of people who have 3 free visits, and probably the outcome of that is longer waiting times to see a GP, because people, instead of actually being able to get a low-cost, quick turnaround, say, from a pharmacy under ACT's policy, are going to just add to the queues of people waiting to get into their local GP. So, you know, ACT focuses on the supply side. Labor and all of their policies, when they were in government as well, seems to focus on increasing demand without even considering whether the supply of professionals is available to deliver the service.
Next, I want to talk about the Broadcasting Standards Authority. The government's announced plans to scrap it, get rid of it entirely. My first question, I guess, about the BSA is, why should members of the public care about getting rid of it? I mean, aren't there bigger issues for the government to be dealing with at the moment?
Well, it's because the BSA was wading in on internet channels when it comes to matters of what they consider taste and appropriate language, where the jokes are funny. I mean, this is an entity set up in the 1980s where there were very few TV and radio channels in New Zealand. Most of them were state-owned. That world doesn't even exist anymore. You can get your content from anywhere, podcasts, you know, live streams, YouTube, socials, on-demand. And the current rules treat similar content differently depending on where it originates, whether it's on a broadcast television set or whether it comes to you on a small screen or a tablet. And so it's completely out of date. We do not need a taste and comedy police, a state agency to police those things. But when it comes to real harms, things like defamation, incitement, breaching suppression orders, maintaining people's privacies, there are already laws around that, and those laws should continue to be enforced. So when you're asking about the government's priorities, our priority is to reduce waste and to reduce the interference of government and people's lives. That is one of the reasons ACT exists. So getting rid of the BSA lines up with that. In fact, so aligned that the government has actually taken on much of Laura McClure, ACT MP's members bill, which also proposed to get rid of the BSA. So it's perfectly aligned to where this coalition government is going.
One of the big things you've mentioned, and one of the big things the government has mentioned as well in these plans to scrap the BSA, is how it's been affecting internet broadcasters. I want to get into that a little bit, because the government's been making out that this is targeting, you know, regular broadcasts. It could go on to target social media posts, that sort of thing. In its current state, the BSA has only targeted internet broadcasters that are acting as, you know, internet-only radio stations. Is this not within the BSA's purview?
Well, the BSA seemed to think it was, but ACT's proposal is we don't need the BSA at all. We do not need a taste and content moderator. We do not need some state bureaucrats telling whether it's a TV station or an internet station whether their jokes are funny and whether they're in good taste or not. I mean, the BSA sought to investigate the platform because Sean Plunkett said the word mumbo jumbo. Now, what on earth is a state agency investigating a broadcaster, whether they're on the internet or the radio, for saying the word mumbo jumbo? It's ridiculous. So they can go and they won't be missed.
I think the important thing here, Simon, though, is that the BSA is dealing with these cases around when people say harmful language, racist, misogynist, homophobic rhetoric, and also when people say things that are just plainly inaccurate, right? The BSA just recently dealt with a one news headline, I believe, that was talking about Donald Trump and was giving misrepresentation of a quote. You know, the BSA provides a very valuable service to members of the public in ensuring that our broadcasters do keep to this higher standard. What do we have if it's gone?
Well, look, I'll reiterate. It's illegal to defame people, to incite people to violence, to violate suppression orders, or breach people's privacy. There are already laws around that, and those laws need to be enforced. When it comes to what people consider misinformation, I mean, of course you wouldn't watch the New Zealand state broadcaster radio or TVNZ or Radio New Zealand if you wanted to find out what was really happening in the world. You'd have to go and search a number of other sources to get some balance, because you're not going to get it from the state broadcaster. And so whether the BSA can tell you that or not, I tell you what, the viewers are choosing different channels, because we know that from the success of alternative internet-based broadcasters like The Platform, or of independent privately owned media like ZB, the ZB Network, and many others around the world. So look, we don't need the BSA to tell us, you know, when some journalist or some news headline is rubbish, and we can find that out for ourselves usually within seconds.
And lastly on that, I want to address what you said about the phrase mumbo jumbo. You represented it as if it was something that Sean Plunkett was saying, devoid of context. He was talking particularly about, I believe, Māori tikanga and te ao Māori values. Is that not, I mean, that's something that someone shouldn't be saying on radio. You know, that seems quite offensive, that seems quite derogatory, and it's rejecting something that is crucial to our identity as a nation. The BSA exists to cover things like this, and it has existed, and as a radio station at BFM, we're subject to it as well, and we acknowledge our obligations under that requirement. Is this not just going to make radio a wild west, almost, of people being able to say whatever they want with no consequence?
Well, you know, my favourite BFM ad is fuck knuckles, cock and piss. So, you know, I mean, you can say just about anything on the radio and offend someone. If you're concerned about whether someone like Sean Plunkett disagrees with the proliferation and use of tikanga in broadcasting and government, for example, that's a debatable point. I mean, you raised the issue that it's part of New Zealand's identity. Well, it is part of some people's cultural identity, but for many New Zealanders, it's not. And it's not for the BSA to call out whether Sean's political views or whether anyone's political views shared on the media are within the boundaries of good taste or acceptable content. That's up to the people listening or viewing whether they want to watch that. They can switch. But, of course, we have laws about incitement. We have laws about breaching people's privacy and so on, and they need to be enforced and maintained. ACT will always support that. But getting rid of the BSA is a no-brainer.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about the ACT Party's new health policy and scrapping the Broadcasting Standards Authority.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.